is not a total loss of anything. You needed to know. And now as things continue to unfold, there are other opportunities and opportunities is as good a word as any. And mechanisms that can be put in place now to handle light projects without getting bogged down. I have to be honest with my own people. You get carried away. You get carried away, and I can see it falling apart in front of you, and you don't want to believe it, and you're grasping, and you're being told all of these different things, and the ideal and the ideal behind the operation is so magnificent that you really want it to work. All right, let us suppose we had been able to transfer enough gold and money to put the entire world back on a monetary gold standard. Because there's enough to do it. There really is enough to do it. Do you really think that they would have allowed Rusbacher, as sick as he is? Let's not even say it's intentional. Let's just say as sick as he is, to be in charge of that, much less his wife. Come on, people, use your heads. Use your heads. Whatever your enemy is, he is not stupid. Not at the levels making the decisions. So are there any realities at all to the Austrian connection for Günther Rusbacher? Yes, indeed. But he blew them. He became a total embarrassment. So can he be salvaged? I have moved on. I don't know where you are, but I don't care. You offer help and information and sharing to those who want it. You don't go digging them out and dragging them along. I'm going to save you. BS. These are really bad characters in many ways. And you will end up like the camel and the camel owner. May I just put the tip of my nose into your tent, sir? It's really cold out here. And then pretty soon, the camel driver has his nose in the tent. May I come in with you, camel, because it's really cold out here. And you're all ending up now carrying the donkey, aren't you? Well, the donkey gets heavy enough, maybe you'll quit picking him up. Well, I know that doesn't sound very kind. I mean, somebody's crying to you and they're going to turn my phone off and this is my last chance to speak to my ever-loving husband for I don't know how long. Well, why don't you know how long? And why did you make the first phone calls that are going to get your phone off the hook? And why is it someone else's responsibility? Well, because I'm working for the CIA and I'm saving my nation. You're not saving anything except your own ass. And it behooves all of you to care enough about your nation because that's saving your ass. And don't consider these bad experiences. I'm warning you, don't consider them bad experiences, because if you do, you will set them aside as bad experiences and that is all they'll be. You use every opportunity to grow enough to know what to do when it's in your lap again, because it will be. We need some funding for our projects. We are going to get it. It's just the mixture of beings that come into it and think they know it all. And I know that you're sick of paying the price of other people's egotistical trips. So each time we get a little bit more skeptical, but each time I notice we get a little more open-minded, but we do it with wisdom. Doesn't mean you're not ever going to be had again. You will be. And that's a bit of what life is about. But I don't want to harp on that. Rick, would you please share with us Maholi and Kathy and whatever else we might have. We're going to have a paper to get out in a minute, and we don't need to struggle all day.
This is a letter that has a heading on it, subject, Death of Two Boys on the Railroad Tracks in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's dated April 18th. Dear Rick, in this report you will hear evidence that was told to me by one Todd Cornwell. Todd came to Leavenworth on April 6th, 1995, for a violation of his federal parole agreement, in which he had received an additional 9-month sentence. After talking with Todd Cornwell, it was discovered that he was born and raised in the Little Rock area and was considered one of the more advanced drug dealers in the state. Cornwell also told me that he has positive information of the deaths that involved the two youths in the Saline County. He fears for his life as well as for the knowledge that he possesses. Cornwell worked for a man named Ted Carter, who was indicted 3 different times for his involvement in the related deaths, however was found innocent of on all three occasions. Ted Carter owned and operated a well-known construction business just off the Interstate I-30 in southwest Little Rock. The business manufacturing prefabricated out of buildings like tool and storage sheds. Ted Carter was also involved with illegal drugs that were being smuggled into the U.S. from Mexico, mainly marijuana. Carter also was involved with methamphetamine, a type of speed that is in powder form. Carter was a very wealthy person who also had strong ties with several of the state and local law enforcement officials to whom he would pay large sums of money to be protected. The story in which you are about to read is the direct result of the aftermath for Carter's decision not to continue to pay certain law enforcement officials and politicians for his protection, resulting in Carter being set up as a fall guy pertaining to the deaths. In Arkansas, there is a team of drug task force officers that is composed of both state, local, county, and federal law officers designed to undertake many, if not most, of the more serious drug operations that are conducted in the state's rural and city areas. There is a team of corrupt officers that call themselves the Cobra Unit. This unit is made up of 6 officers from state, county, and city personnel. Each one of the members sports a tattoo of a cobra snake on their arm, indicating that they are the only members of the strike force. These members, along with one Dan Harmon, special prosecutor from Saline County, Arkansas, started the group back in 1986. This group would often shake down suspected drug dealers for extortion funds and related protection money so that the drug dealers may continue to operate in the area in which the special task force had jurisdiction over. Keep in mind that the task force could operate in any given part of the state, but operated in the Little Rock, Hot Springs area mostly, only because that's where the majority of the big money in the state is.
Does anybody catch what kind of a tattoo?
Snake.
Now, would anyone care to tell me what the tattoo is supposed to be on John Doe number 2? Everything is connected to everything. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a cobra. You know, they're a little more subtle than that. After you're out of the early teens, you know, everybody's got to look identical, but...
After discovering a chemical laboratory where illegal drugs were being manufactured in a rural area near Little Rock, only in Saline County, the officers of the Cobra Unit took it upon themselves to cut a deal with the operators of the drug lab. This deal was to provide them with the necessary protection that they would need to continue to operate this multi-million-dollar drug operation without fear of being busted. The lab was first discovered back in 1987 by officers Jay Campbell, Alan Swint, and Kirk Lang. They then took their findings and reported them to the special prosecutor Dan Harmon of Hot Springs, Arkansas, to decide on what course of action to follow. It was the idea of Dan Harmon to coerce the illegal drug operators to do as told, to pay a certain percentage of the drug profits to these four law officers, or go to prison and pay an enormous fine. As it was, the operators of the illegal drug operation decided to pay, along with Dan Harmon's well-designed plan to further their own greed of illegal monies. The operation was well into the third year when the two boys from the area stumbled upon the illegal operation. Here is the exact words of what Todd Cornwell had told me of what had happened the night of the murders of the two boys, one Don Henry and Kevin Ives. The night of the killing, the two boys were out looking for buildings to break into and steal some things to get some money. It so happened that when they came upon a certain farmhouse and a few outbuildings, they picked the wrong place to rob, as it was, in fact, the location of the illegal drug operation. The boys were caught in the act of looking into one of the outbuildings and detained by two of the cooks who were manufacturing the drugs. Fearing that the two boys had seen too much, the cooks then phoned for the corrupt policeman to come and advise just how to handle this matter. Three members of the elite drug task force, codenamed Cobra Unit, responded to the call through a special beeper number given to the...
This was another break where the tape was turned on the original.
...entered into the barn, where they were questioned as well as intimidated. The one boy, Kevin Ives, was rather vulgar towards the policeman, resulting in him and Officer Kirk Lang getting into a fight. When the struggle was over, young Ives laid dead from blows struck to him by both Kirk Lang and Jay Campbell. Alan Swint held the other boy while this was going on, actually had the boy handcuffed. It was then decided that since the Ives boy was now dead at the hand of a policeman, the other boy, Don Henry, must also die, as to protect the identity and crimes of everyone involved in the incident. Another officer of the Cobra Unit was then called to come and help figure out the next step in the crime. This officer's name is Lieutenant David Smith, who was then connected with the CID office of the state police. Lieutenant David Smith then phoned his other partner in crime, Dan Harmon, to rush to the scene and offer support and any ideas he may have to dispose of the two boys' bodies. It was Dan Harmon's idea to take the boys to the nearby Alexander, Arkansas, to a remote railroad crossing, to walk the bodies down the tracks a ways and place the already dead bodies across the tracks. Before doing this, the bodies had been stabbed. Therefore, the bodies would have to be mangled beyond recognition, and an oncoming train would be blamed for the cause of death. The drug lab was then disabled, and the two drug cooks who were working for the Dixie Mafia would be sent back to rural Kentucky. It was also said that one Skeeter Ward was also a partner in the drug lab. Another Arkansas sheriff named Jim Steed was also in on the extortion payoffs. This story was also told to me back in 1991 by Teresa Harmon, Dan Harmon's daughter. However, she did not go into as much detail as did Todd Cornwell, as Todd Cornwell has. Teresa had once confided in me, as I would supply her, as well as her father, with quality cocaine and marijuana. I hope this letter helps all who may be investigating the murders of the two young boys. Their killers should be themselves prosecuted and given the death sentence. This elite Cobra Unit is still active in Arkansas. Your friend, Michael Mahoney.
See, what's happening is there are these little Dixie Mafia elements, little tribes here and there, little special groups, all working for the same big bosses, and actually Clinton isn't the big boss. He's just a little bitty nothing. But it certainly is an embarrassment to you as a nation to have him literally a witch, a warlock, but not even of the stature of his wife, who is also a witch, of a higher level. These are satanic cults, dear ones. And you're going to have these groups. Now, you have a lot of people who know and can hang you. So don't think for one moment that everybody's going to have a tattoo of a cobra on their arm. Anyone who is really a problem still running around out there to this elite group of thugs and criminals. They're going to use this to pull them all in. If they have to rig charges, they've got to figure a way to get them silenced if they know anything that can really be damaging. So this is why the big roundup of everybody from various and sundry states, and if they had any connection with each other, which they know they did, whether they do today or not makes no matter. If they can report against you, every effort will be made to silence them or discredit them. And that's the same thing that happened with Snell. Snell really didn't know very much. But they wanted to get rid of him, and they made him take the fall for the death of a pawnbroker. And he had a smart-ass officer that was the, quote, now the beloved friend of Clinton, that was literally stalking him. Well, why would this have happened? Well, he was sort of in a radical group. They sort of wanted to survive, and it's not like the Ku Klux Klan, but it was, you know, they were going to live in their own community, and you got a bunch of rednecks, blue necks, whatever you want to call them, and young to middle-aged people who are going to try to live their life as they see fit under, quote, their constitution. But it just happens that Snell, whether it is public knowledge or not, it will be one day, with one or two other people, stumble into one of those side drug delivery runways and watched while they unloaded cocaine and heroin. It became very important to silence Snell. And I think that it's going to be well understood before this is all over that what Snell could not do in prison or on parole, or even with a pardon, he will accomplish now. They have done themselves in as far as that segment. Jim Guy Tucker, I'm telling you, is through. It doesn't mean that he's finished with his business until they pull him down. But he's through. These guys are finished and they know it. They've got to get more and more and more heinous now. They've got to find all of this group that's going to tattle if they don't round them all up. Because they are now growing up and they can see what's happened to their nation and how stupid they were. This is what happens. You do get smart as you get older. Share Kathy with us and Mark.
Dear Rick and all our Contact family and readers of Contact.
Yes, it is.
This is from Mark and Kathy both. Like everyone else dedicated to restoring human values to our country and world, Mark and I have stayed very busy in the wake of the recent devastation in Oklahoma. We feel an enormous burden of frustration for ineffectively spreading the word on New World Order in time to help prevent this unnecessary blow to our efforts to unite patriots. Together with the weight of the world on our shoulders, we sat down and wrote this heartfelt letter. Despite Mark's and my best efforts, mainstream media censorship under the guise of so-called national security continues to hinder us in our effort to arm the populace with our only defense, truth and knowledge. Mark and I are deeply appreciative of Contact's commitment to permeating censorship to inform those with eyes to see and ears to hear truth. We are equally grateful for Contact's apparent determination to open the eyes of those still sleeping through the dark ages of information control by waking them up to the reality of who, what is running our country and world. When Mark first woke me up after a lifetime of existing as a CIA MK-Ultra Project Monarch mind control slave, I felt somewhat like Rip Van Winkle waking up to find decades of my life behind me. At the same time, I was dismayed to learn that the populace knew very little of the advanced technological secrets that allowed those in power to control us all through deliberately cultivated ignorance and apathy. In essence, I had a bird's eye view of the future through the behind-the-scenes planning I had been exposed to as a presidential model slave. Those criminals in charge, hell-bent on their world dominance schemes, never believed I and others could recover to tell that which we were supposed to forget, because they never took into consideration the strength of existence of the human spirit. The only way we can fail is to fail to think of an excuse, was Byrd's often stated motto. Mark logically showed me that the perpetrators of New World Orders were destined to fall, to fail, because of their attitude alone. Bad guys have to spend so much time covering up their criminal deeds that it hinders progression of their plans. Truth and goodness is a positive forward progression that inevitably wins out over evil every time. Nevertheless, my heart is heavy with the frustration of not being capable of revealing their plan in time to prevent the deaths of the innocents caught in the crossfires of revolution in Oklahoma. The pen is mightier than the sword, Mark wisely told me, and recovery is the best revenge. I believed it then and I believe it now. Through recovery, I remember decades of details of New World Order plans, many of which were inadvertently revealed in my presence by those believing I would never survive to remember or simply consider me a robot. While they discussed the demise of humanity as we know it, I photographically recorded every word. Revenge for the mind-altering tortures, George Bush, Bill Bennett, Senator Byrd, and others subjected my precious daughter Kelly and I to, did indeed motivate me to recover as quickly as was accurately possible. Now, with conscious recollection of what transpired amongst world leaders during the Reagan-Bush administration, it is my love of humanity that compels me to publicly reveal all that I know. With love rather than spite, motivating my efforts to shed light on criminal covert activity, I had hoped to make a difference in time. Simply stated, the plan of the so-called masterminds behind the New World Orders is to create sufficient pandemonium and confusion to traumatize and subsequently dissociate the populace, which makes us all prime candidates for mind control. And mind control of the masses is their primary tool for ushering in what Adolf Hitler termed New World Order. Quote, the only way to world peace is through mind control of the masses, unquote, Ronald Reagan said. I know from experience that there is no peace of mind under mind control. How can there be peace of mind when there is no peace of... How can there be peace, world peace, when there is no peace of mind? Pandemonium, confusion, trauma. I am watching their plan unfold, all the while devoting all that I am to disseminating information in an effort to arm the populace with truth. While there is still time, Mark and I devote all much needed and appreciated donations and every dime we have to postage, copies, and book and video productions in our frantic effort to effectively spread the word on mind control. Yet it never seems to be enough. We desperately need help. We both fantasize that tomorrow will be the day that some human rights foundation or organization with funding will recognize our small efforts, driven by an enormous passion, and help us support this work. We also believe that contact will prevail and succeed, but only through dedicated support. What we don't know is hurting us. With ad campaigns such as Why Ask Why, conditioning the minds of the masses to accept change without question, it is up to those of us with eyes to see and ears to hear truth to ask why. Finger pointing at hate groups, races, aliens, religions, militias, patriots, is a deliberate, well-planned attempt to create dissension among us. Divided, we fall. United and armed with truth, we all stand to win this mind war for control of our world, but only through commitment. Mark reminds me to never voice a negative without offering a positive solution. So rather than just beg others to be committed and do something, he suggests writing your elected, but not necessarily chosen, state and federal congressmen on the following hot issues. Number one, by supporting the new growing movement in Congress through H.R. 499 bill, which will repeal the infamous North American Free Trade Agreement. Two, by supporting the New Jersey congressman on the House Intelligence Oversight Committee, Democrat Representative Robert Torricelli, who linked the CIA operative informant to two Guatemalan slayings. Tell Newt Gingrich that Representative Torricelli was correct in exposing the CIA's murderous actions. Perhaps you could copy Congressman Torricelli with your letters. Note, this brave New Jersey congressman is advocating for a former nun who was raped, tortured, and brainwashed through error by CIA personnel operating in Guatemala. The survivor just won a $40 million lawsuit, which she'll never collect, against her CIA operative abuser, who is now the Guatemalan presidential candidate. 3. Anyone who is informed of the details of my daughters and my victimization at the hands of this corrupt faction of our government could write to their respective congressman and Representative Torricelli and demand this case be opened. Maybe you could provide the squeak that requires attention. Violence is not an answer, but rather it is a predicted reaction to perpetrators' actions. Arming ourselves with weapons is futile compared to their advanced technology and psychological warfare tactics. They laugh at us predictably, falling for their lies and shooting at each other. They point the finger the other way, then go about their business of running our world while we predictably annihilate each other. The so-called war on drugs is but one example of planned psychological warfare that has eroded thinking and turned our streets into shooting galleries. The CIA took control of the world drug industry during the Reagan administration, increased heroin, Bush's drug of choice, supplies through the Bush administration, and deliberately created a global addiction destined to result in bloodshed so large that this drug project will be relabeled genocide. People so traumatized by the increasing violence become easier to manipulate and lead off point through panic, terrorism, confusion, and lack of moral leadership. So regardless of who detonated the bomb in Oklahoma, killing the innocent and traumatizing humanity, the true instigators remain the same. Many patriots look to our Constitution for answers. It was my experience that Senator Byrd diligently studied our Constitution in an effort to manipulate it to fit New World Order plans. He quotes constitutional law the same way Satanists quote the Bible, mm-hmm. with his own spin on interpretation. In our, the real patriots, desperate attempt to take back our country and world, we must be cautious not to fall into any more of their misrepresentations of truth. We must represent truth ourselves, sans violence. The Constitution allows us to form militias to defend our rights, not for offensive actions. We believe that Reverend Olson also believes that as truth. Psychological warfare is their game. They know more about the inner workings of the human brain than has been allowed in university textbooks. Their extensive understanding of the scientific, psychiatric ins and outs of the brain, as well as the predictable psychological reactions of the human mind, is classified as a matter of national security. It is no coincidence that mental health has been left in the dark ages of information control. Why? Why ask why? Secret knowledge equals power. And it is up to those of us who still can to ask questions, demand answers, and take back our country and world now. We have no time to lose in arming ourselves and each other with the knowledge that they don't want us to know. If you can't bring yourself to write your congressman, then help us through endowing such organizations as Contact. While perpetrators are equipped to think ahead and accurately predict our actions through their inhumane actions, they are limited in their intellect by their own immorality. They cannot think deep enough to take into account the more moral convictions so alien to their thinking. It is the light of moral truth and conviction that we gain. It is in the light of moral truth and conviction that we gain our strength and subsequent advantage over those who seek to control us. Violence is what they want. Terrorism, mass chaos, with mass genocide as their trophy. Let's not play into their hands by responding with violence. Knowledge is our only defense against mind control. Another predicted reaction that a faction of our populace is playing into at this time is a sense of helplessness due to the vast circulation of misinformation designed to overwhelm us. With the blame deliberately shifting from those men masterminding world domination to perpetual distortions of aliens, demons, and biblical fulfillment being the cause of humanity's decline, it is predicted that people will throw up their hands in helplessness and do nothing. These criminals are actually counting on the moral majority to do nothing, because they are programming you to feel helpless. You are not. Recently, I had cause to spend several luxurious hours with Kelly, who expressed dismay over being counseled that, quote, the end is upon us and therefore nothing can be done beyond prayer, unquote. I assured her good people were taking action for her sake and the sake of all humanity. She expressed heartfelt gratitude for the few letters of encouragement she received from contact readers that somehow passed through censorship and reached her. She asked me to thank you on her behalf, since she is still prohibited by court order from answering letters. I do thank you and encourage you to please continue writing. Her spirit is strengthened through your support. Perpetrators of New World Orders are counting on the moral majority to do nothing, fail to consider the strength of human spirit derives from truth. They believed I could do nothing to reveal all that I had experienced and witnessed at the political top of their world dominance effort. They were wrong. Prior to losing my free will thinking to mind control in 1966, quote, right to remain silent, unquote, I eagerly sought answers to the seemingly incessant parade of questions that dominated my mind pertaining to God. The Catholic priests at St. Francis were already sexually and psychologically abusing me, as was my father, Earl O'Brien, and former President Gerald Ford. Obviously, these leaders did not have the answers I sought. I surmised at a very early age that the answers must be found within. Once, while signing my favorite childhood hymn, while singing my favorite childhood hymn, God is Love, and This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine, I looked deeply inside myself for true meaning. The light I found inside me was love. In my childish view, I concluded that the most powerful force in the universe was God, and God is love, the source of light within me. I already knew from experience that God was not going to intervene on the peripheral circumstances of my life, but I fully believed that He was my strength to survive to tell, evidenced by the light of love within me. I joyously sang the hymns louder. Decades later, within my free will thinking, restored through Mark Phillips' loving deprogramming expertise, I looked within for spiritual answers to all I endured. There is no justification for the actions of Kelly and my abusers, nor is there any vengeance equal to what they did to us and are doing to humanity as a whole. These are soulless people who never recognized, controlled, or extinguished mine. Therefore, spirituality is not a question, it is an answer. Now that I've come full circle and lightened by my childhood inner view of God's love, I am determined to reveal their plan in order that truth, not violence, be our source of triumph. It is up to each of us to arm the populace with knowledge, our only defense against New World Orders, by shining the loving light of truth. In order to reveal truth on a mass scale, we must write our politicians demanding they repeal the 1947 National Security Act and the 1982 Reagan Amendment, the same that has kept us all in the dark ages of information containment far too long. And together now, spread the word and support those of us out on the front lines. Then and only then can we truly be the most dangerous people, the ones who have nothing left to lose. In light and love and truth, Mark and Kathy.
That's enough. Aho.
Thank you, Commander. Excellent meetings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to need some seminars. We really are. We're going to need to be able to have these people here to share personally. And we need to be able to have you ones who come to be able to do so. I'm all in favor of getting our hands on some of that gold. Let's do it.
We'll get George.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And God bless you.
God bless you.
Salud. Salud.